Well, I want to speak to you this morning for 10 minutes on Nehemiah. Not the entire book, just one verse. You all know it very well. Now, you remember that Ezra went back after the captivity of Judah. He went back to build the temple, roughly speaking. Now, do you know what Nehemiah was concerned with? He was concerned with the building of the walls. And you remember in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, he got very depressed, very worked up, very sad, very frustrated, because the walls in Jerusalem were still in ruins after the captivity, after the Babylonians had destroyed it. He knew that they were in that state because of the sin of the people. He confessed that in his prayer. You will read it in chapter 1 of Nehemiah. But he also prayed to God that God would give him the opportunity of going back to Jerusalem to build the walls again. But he was a slave. And he was in the court of King Artaxerxes. And he was the cupbearer to the king. So he was in a problem, and he prayed about it, chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, he goes in to do his job, which was serving the king with his cups, and the king noticed something about Nehemiah. Do you remember what he noticed?
He got some sad
face. He was a very sad face. He was very miserable, yeah. It showed in his face what was in his heart, and it does for us. I wasn't born with all these lines on my face. They've come through all the years of stress and worry and tension and everything else. Most of it was, which was wasted, but there it is. It's left its mark on me, and yours too. I know ladies can cover it up with their creams and stuff, but it's still there. But it showed on Nehemiah's face. Now, this is a tyrant, this king, and he doesn't like his servants to be miserable. So Nehemiah's in trouble. So the king says to him, "What's up, my old chap? What's up?" So he says, "Well, you know, there's trouble Jerusalem and so on." So the king says, "Well, what do you want to do?" Now, what does the Bible say next? Oh, come on. What does the Bible say next? What did Nehemiah do? It said, "And I prayed to the God of heaven." And I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, I am sure he didn't say to the king, "Now just keep quiet for 10 minutes and I'll get on my knees and I'll say my prayers." I don't think he said that for a minute. What I think he did was, without saying a word, he just lifted up his heart to God. He'd already prayed about this in chapter 1. And here is the opportunity. And just before he speaks, he cries out to God, "Lord, help me." This is what he's saying. "Lord, help me." We don't know the words because he didn't say any words, but we know that he prayed. It says so. He prayed to the God of heaven just before he spoke. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning, just in these few minutes. Here is a godly man. He's in a difficult situation. He doesn't know how it's all going to work out. So what is his instinct? It is to lift up his heart to God. It's what we call an arrow prayer. You see, he had his stated time of prayer, his regular time of prayer. You can see that in chapter 1. And he did something I would advise you to do. I don't know if you do, but I do. He prayed out loud. I would advise you to read your Bible out loud, to yourself, I mean, and pray out loud. It really does help, I'll tell you. Don't be embarrassed. God can hear whether you speak it or not, but it'll do you good. But he prayed there. But I'm sure this is just a sharp, quick look to God. And it's most encouraging. And I want to leave two things with you. Now, Nehemiah's not the only one. I understand Luther, when he was on trial sometime, was found to be scribbling on a piece of paper on his desk. And when they looked afterwards, he was in debate, I think, with a man called John Eck. He was in debate. He was arguing for his life, arguing for the truth. And he was writing. But when they looked afterwards, he was writing this: "More light, more light." You see, he was praying. He was asking God, "Give me light, give me understanding how to answer this man." Now, I hope you pray like this. I'm speaking to you as believers. I hope you pray like this. Instinctively, looking up to God. Some news comes, some difficulty comes, some trial comes, something comes out of the blue, as it always does. You've got to make a decision. Look to God. Lord, help me in this. Lord, look to me. Come to me. Two things I want to leave with you. One is, I want you to think how, I'll use the word big, infinite God must be. Here are you in your little room, and you're sending up one of these arrow prayers. That's the word, actually, arrow. Arrow prayers. Down the corridor, somebody else at the same time is doing the same, sending up an arrow prayer. And somewhere in Bedford, somebody else is doing the same. Somebody at Wixom's and Bromham, lifting up their hearts to God. In London, down in Cornwall, in Wales, Scotland, Ireland, France, Japan, Australia. Now, God didn't say, just a minute, I got somebody over there, I got to wait. No, no, he can answer us all at the very instant we need. How big God must be. Isn't it wonderful to think how infinite he must be to be able to hear all this? But let me put the opposite to you. Think how God is willing to come down very small. You see, your concern won't be mine. What you want to pray about won't be what I want to pray about. But it doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is, God is interested. Send up your prayer, however small, however big. You can't be too small for God. You can't be too big for God. There's a word here for the unbeliever. I could spend a long time on this, but I won't. Today I'm very sad. I'm very angry, actually, and I do what I can against it. Have you noticed that there's been a big, big change amongst the evangelicals? Let me tell you what the change is. I remember a time when preachers used to call for sinners to be converted. When they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. Come now. Now, I don't go along with all that Billy Graham stood for. But with Billy Graham, you jolly well knew that you had to come to Christ. And come now. But we've changed all that now. Now we say to people, now you come along to this course. Several weeks. Alpha. Exploring Christianity, whatever it is. You know, all these things. And then start attending a load of meetings. And it may be, after a year or two, you never know, something might happen. My friend, that's not the Bible way. Isaiah, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Hear Jesus, come unto me. Not come to a course. Come to me. Paul didn't say, now you go on to a course. He said, repent and believe. Now, why am I saying this? Remember Spurgeon's conversion. He was in that chapel on a snowy day in Colchester, and he heard this man who couldn't preach, and he was preaching on Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And this is what the man said. He said, young man, you look very miserable, and you always will be miserable until you do what my text says, and that is, look to Jesus. He said, it don't take much to look, do it? It is only a look. Look, and you only got to look, he said. Spurgeon said, I looked. That's the point. If Nehemiah can pray like this, shouting up to God as it were in his heart, I say to the sinner, the unbeliever, in a long process, just call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Look to him now and be saved. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life for a look for thee. So look, look and live. You see, that's the word. But my main thought is for us as believers. In all our circumstances, let's develop this. Let's constantly, this is praying without ceasing. This is what it is, looking up to God. Now, maybe I haven't helped you much, but perhaps James Montgomery can help you. Let me just read three verses to you. Listen to this. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, The falling of a tear. Of course, you never cry, do you? No, no. But the falling of a tear. The upward glancing. See, that's what Nehemiah did. The upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Even children can pray like this. The ravens cry and God hears them, so I know he'll hear the children. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Please take that home with you. I want to take it home. God is so big, he can hear me and all the other saints who are praying at the same time, but he's willing to come down to my small affairs. I hope that will be an encouragement to you. And if any unbeliever is listening to this on the recording, wouldn't it be wonderful if they actually looked to Jesus now and were saved?